Nehemiah chapter number 6. We read in verse 11 of that chapter. We want to consider verses 10 to 14. But verse 11, Nehemiah, he's just been tempted again. And this is his response, and I love this response. We read there verse 11, "And I said, should such a man as I flee, and who is there, that being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in." The presidency of the United States is one of the most powerful positions in this world. The office which is currently occupied by Mr. Donald Trump is a position of power, but it is also a very precarious one as well. If you were to live your life as the President of the United States, your life would be in constant danger every waking moment of every day of your life. And this is expressed whenever you think about the many attempted and successful plots to assassinate various presidents of the United States. There is perhaps no greater example of that constant threat, that constant attack upon the president. Whenever you think about the presidency of Abraham Lincoln, he received 3 assassination attempts upon his life. On February the 23rd in 1861, the Baltimore plot was hatched whenever he was inaugurated. Then again, 3 years later in 1864 in August, Lincoln, he was leaving the White House after working late one night. He was going just a few miles down the road to the place where he would stay as a retreat, named the Soldier's Home. And as he was riding there to that retreat, a sniper came, and a sniper hiding up amongst the trees, he shot at Abraham Lincoln, only to miss him and shoot right through his hat. The sentry on duty at the entrance of the soldier's house, he later stated in his account of the incident that he saw the president riding towards him on a horse, bareheaded. Of course, then, the year later, Abraham Lincoln, he was eventually assassinated again because an attempt upon his life. And here in Nehemiah chapter number 6, we have, as it were, an assassination attempt, not upon the President of the United States, but upon the President or future Governor of Jerusalem. Whilst Nehemiah perhaps didn't have the clout of Donald Trump today, yet we must remember that Nehemiah was a very, very important figure in Jerusalem. His leadership qualities, his dominion, his influence, they were growing every single day. Soon after the walls would be completed, and Nehemiah, he would head back to Persia, and he would then be made or inaugurated, as it were, as the governor of Jerusalem. And here in verses 10 to 14, we have, as it were, an assassination attempt upon the future governor of Jerusalem. Last week we considered verses 1 to 4. Well, you remember the enemy came at Nehemiah 4 times. Tobiah and Sanballat, they came to Nehemiah and they asked him to go for a quiet conference down in the plains of Ono, some 25 miles away from Jerusalem. Of course, Nehemiah's response was, "I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down." Then in verses 5 to 10, the enemy, they came at Nehemiah again. Verse 5, we read, "Sanballat, his servant, unto me in like manner the 5th time, with an open letter in his hand." In verses 5 to 10, Sanballat, he came to Nehemiah. He had a letter in his hand, and he was charging Nehemiah with open rebellion against King Artaxerxes. However, Nehemiah, he dealt with that accusation, and he committed his cause to the Lord. The enemy, they had tried deception in verses 1 to 4. They then had tried fabrication. They had fabricated a lie in verses 5 to 9. And now in verses 10 to 14, they are attempting assassination. They are attempting to completely remove, to completely exterminate Nehemiah from the walls. You see, when the enemy can't deceive you, they will attempt to discredit you. And when the enemy cannot discredit you, they will then attempt to completely destroy you. Oh, last week we saw how deceptive the enemy is. And I trust that this past week that you've had the guard up, that you've been watching, as it were, for the Sanballats, the Tobias that go about and ask you to come to the plains of Ono, that seek to get you away. But there are times when the enemy not only tries deception, but then there are times when the enemy tries fabrication. Sometimes the enemy will just conjure up and concoct blatant lies to discredit your testimony. And when the enemy tries all of these different things, then sometimes you'll find that the enemy here, just like they did with Nehemiah, they'll attempt outright assassination. They will attempt to assassinate you and completely remove you from the service of God. Wonder, child of God, are you, as it were, receiving assassination attempts? Maybe the enemy's coming and they're like Tobiah and Sanballat. They're trying, as it were, to assassinate you, to try and completely remove you from the service of God. Oh, be wary. As we're seeing in these studies, the devil, he has many, many different tricks, many different tools that he uses. And here's another one. When he sees deception doesn't work, opposition doesn't work, fabrication doesn't work, he then tries assassination. And this is what I want to look at this morning. I want to look at an attempt to assassinate Nehemiah. An attempt to assassinate Nehemiah. I want you to notice firstly here in these verses the presentation of the attempt. The presentation of the attempt. Nehemiah had faced many, many difficulties thus far. And now just before we read in verse 15 of the walls being finally completed, the enemy, they try one last ditch attempt to assassinate Nehemiah. A person named Shemaiah, he attempts to bring him into the temple in order to assassinate him. I want you to think here firstly, thinking here about the presentation of the attempt. Notice here the individual in the presentation. Who was this individual that tried to draw Nehemiah away to the temple? Well, in verse 10 we read, I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night they will come to slay thee. At this stage, Nehemiah was not yet governor. He was still a cupbearer, come builder. He had been called by God to spearhead the rebuilding project of the walls. He had been slandered, discouraged. Lies had been forged against him. But now the enemy, they're trying the ultimate attack, the attack of assassination. One evening, Nehemiah came to a man named Shemaiah and came to his house. Now, who was this man, Shemaiah? Well, we read in this verse, verse 10, he was the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel. He wasn't like Sanballat or Tobiah or Geshem. This man, he wasn't a foreigner. No, sadly, he was a Jew. 1 Chronicles 24 mentions that the family of Deliah, they were actually a family of priests. And so this man, Shemaiah, he was a priest. His father was a priest, his grandfather was a priest, and he was a priest as well. And verse 12 states that he was not only a priest, but he was a prophet. He was prophesying the words of the enemy. But whilst he was a priest and a prophet, he was sadly a false one. Verse 12 also tells us, Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. And I want you to see this. It wasn't now the enemy who were Ammonites, who were from other nations than the Jews that came at Nehemiah. Now it was a Jew himself. Now it was a priest of all people. Here was someone who gave all the pretense of being religious, and yet they even held a religious office, but they were actually hired by the enemy in order to attempt to slay Nehemiah. And it reminds us this morning that apostate religion is not dreadful, is dreadful, but it is also dangerous. Apostates will attempt to eliminate you from the true service of God. Sometimes you'll find, sadly, that it will not be those who are foreigners, those who are strangers, as it were, from the church. Rather, sometimes it will be those who hold religious office, false prophets, false priests, even false preachers, that will attempt to desire your assassination. I said to you this morning, there are those within this city, and they hold religious offices. And like Shemaiah, they give all of the pretense, they hold the office, but beware of them. Because they preach a half-gospel. They preach another gospel. They preach a pseudo-gospel. And when they see you attempt to do a true, genuine gospel work, just like Shemaiah did here with Nehemiah, then they will attempt to stop you. They will even attempt to completely remove you from the service of God. Christ warned of such people like this. And he said in Matthew 7, verse 15, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Just prior to this verse, Christ, he spoke of the narrow way and the broad way. Now he states there were those who were giving all the appearance of being timid, just like sheep's, but really within they were wolves. There would be those within religious circles who would basically want to keep you from the narrow way which leads to heaven. You see, the way to heaven is not broad. It's narrow. It's only through Jesus Christ that you can enter heaven's gates. But sadly, there will be those who, just like Shemaiah, will have the religious garb, will wear the religious garment, will even hold religious office. But they'll attempt to remove you. They will attempt to, as it were, exterminate you from the service of God, the individual of the presentation. But notice also here the intimidation in the presentation. Verse 10 we read, he said, "Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night they will come to slay thee." We're told here in these verses that Nehemiah was shut up. We can't really be too sure what that means, but it probably gives the impression that he had locked himself away in his house or in some room, and he was giving the impression that he was extremely pious. He had locked himself away, maybe giving the impression to Nehemiah that he was spending a long time in prayer, or he was seeking the face of God. But all of this was just a pretense. It was just to give Nehemiah the impression that he was a picture-perfect prophet and priest. Now, what did this man do? He tried to get Nehemiah to come with him into the very inner sanctuary, within the house of God. And he gave him the reason. He stated, verse 10, "For they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night they will come to slay thee." And he basically told Nehemiah a lie. He lied to him. He said, "Look, Tobiah and Sanballat, they're rising up. They're going to come for you this very night. They're going to come. They're going to slay you. So why don't you just come with me into the inner sanctuary, into the temple, and there you will be safe." And so he's essentially trying to intimidate Nehemiah. But all the while, there was a plot set up for him in the temple with Shemaiah. And when the enemy will try deception and even opposition, they will also try intimidation, which leads to assassination. They will make idle threats in order to intimidate you, to seek to remove you from the service of God. Sometimes they'll threaten you. Oh, they'll not threaten you physically. They're far more clever than that. Those who give all of the pretense that they are religious, that they perhaps even hold religious office, they'll not, as it were, threaten you physically like Shemaiah here, but But maybe they'll threaten your well-being in the service of God. Maybe they say, if you do such and a such, then this will happen, then that will happen, then the other thing will happen. If you do this, then I will do that. If you do that, then I will do the other thing. And sadly, there will be those who will try to scare you stiff, insomuch so that you abandon the service of God. The apostles, they knew what it was like to be intimidated. Well, after preaching Jesus Christ, we read in Acts 4, verse 17, as the Peter and John are now before the Sanhedrin, we read that it spread no further among the people. Let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth no man in this name. The verb threaten there, it literally means to threaten with a threat. It denotes intensity and urgency. And here's Peter and John. They've been preaching Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, and they're now before the Sanhedrin. And what does the Sanhedrin do? Well, they basically said, let's threaten them so much so that we'll intimidate them in order to get them to stop preaching Jesus Christ. And whenever deception doesn't work, the enemy will try intimidation that will lead to assassination. They will try and threaten you so much so that they will try to get you to leave the walls. Oh, the enemy wants to do that this morning. The enemy wants to intimidate you, wants to see you scared absolutely stiff. But be very wary. Be very, very wary, because just around the corner, there will always be and often be that plot, as it were, that's been hatched to completely assassinate you, to remove you from the service of Jesus Christ. And here's Nehemiah, and he's presented with this attempt of assassination upon him. The presentation of the attempt. Notice secondly here the protest against the attempt. The protest against the attempt. Shemaiah, he invited Nehemiah into the very inner sanctuary of the temple. But Nehemiah said no. He said, I'm not falling for this trap. I'm not going into the sanctuary in this protest. Notice two things here. Notice his courage. His courage. Verse 11 we read, and I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. As we have already understood in our studies, Nehemiah was a tremendously perceptive man. He could see through the attacks of the enemy. He could see through their deception. He could see through their fabrication. And I believe he's seeing right through their attempt again here. Verse 12 we read, I perceive God had not sent him. But whilst he was a very sensitive man and a very spiritual man, he was also a very strong man. He stated there, whenever he was tempted to go to the inner sanctuary, should such a man as I flee? In other words, should I run? Why should I run? These men are coming to slay me, then let them come. What have I to fear? If God has called me, then God will protect me. And he possessed tremendous courage. Why? That he had this overriding conviction that God had called him to complete the work on the walls. In other words, he was saying, look, the enemy can come, the enemy can try all of their attempts, but God is going to protect me. I will continue and I will complete the work of the Lord. And rather than being cowardly, Christ would have us to be courageous, to stand before the enemy for the Lord. And I wonder this morning, when you are confronted with that open attack upon you, or even upon your testimony, wonder if you got the courage like Nehemiah, that courage to look the enemy straight in the eye and say, should such a man as I flee? Should such a woman as I flee? Should such a young person as I flee? Why should I run? Why should I hide? I'm in the center of the will of God. I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. Christ, he will see that if he's called me to this work, then I will ultimately finish this work. Paul wrote to Jewish converts that were under pressure, and after encouraging them in Hebrews 13, verse 5, that the Lord would never leave them nor forsake them, he then went on to state in verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And one of the wonderful results of knowing that the Lord is with us, that he will not forsake us, is that we may face the enemy and say, the Lord's my helper. I'll not fear what man will do to me. And in spite of consequence, we are still to be courageous, because we should be armed with the knowledge that the Lord has called us to the work that we're doing, and he'll see to it that the work gets completed. Oh, this morning, are you engaged in the service of God? And maybe the enemy now, the enemy is trying this assassination, this attempt to exterminate you, this attempt to completely discredit you. Well, I wonder if you have this courage that the Lord will see that I'll complete the work. The Lord's with me. He's my helper. Why should I then flee? John Wesley stated, until my work on this earth is done, I am immortal. But when my work for Christ is done, then I go to be with the Lord. And what a way to view life. Until I do that work that Jesus Christ has given me to do, I'm immortal. Nothing can harm me. No man can touch me. Christ will see to it that I will finish the work. It doesn't matter what the enemy thinks, says, or even does. We have no reason to flee. Oh, what courage he had. Should such a man as I flee? Why should I run? I will not do so. His courage, also notice here, his conviction. His conviction. Thinking about this protest, we read in verse 11, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. He faced the enemy straight on. And he asked this question, should such a man as I flee? Nehemiah, there was no budging him. He wasn't for going into the temple. Now, the reason he wasn't for going into the temple is, yes, he was very courageous, but also he would have been sinning if he went into the temple. Verse 13 tells us this, therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin. Sin. In other words, it would have been sin for Nehemiah to enter into the inner sanctuary of the temple. Now, why was this so? Well, in Numbers 18, verse 7, we're told there that men who were not priests were forbidden by the Jewish law to enter into the inner sanctuary. If they did so, it was sin. And so Nehemiah, he had this unwavering conviction that he was not going to sin against the Lord and break his law. He wasn't going to sin against God by entering into the inner sanctuary. And as well as courage, you also need conviction. Whilst you need to be strong against the enemy, you need to be soft towards the law of God. Oh, have you this softness towards the law of God, which says, I know that this is wrong. The Bible says it, the book says it. I can't do this, no matter what happens to me. Sometimes, like Nehemiah, life will present us with a choice. And the choice will be, do this thing and sin against God and break his law, or don't do that thing. And there are times when you will face the choice of being obedient to the Lord despite the consequences. You think about Daniel and his three friends in Daniel chapter 3. You remember what happened there? Nebuchadnezzar was erecting a huge statue, and he was going to get everybody to come and to bow before that statue. And he asked Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to bow before this statue, or else. And in Daniel 3, verse 15, we read about the or else. We read there, if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. In other words, he said, if you don't bow before the statue of me, if you don't commit idolatry, then you will be thrown into a literal fire. Now, how did Daniel's three Hebrew friends respond? Well, in verse 18 we read, be known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And they basically said, it doesn't matter the consequences. Should we be thrown into a literal fiery furnace, literally flames, they said, we're not going to do it. Should you throw us into the fire? And when faced with the furnace or the fire or even fatality, we still must be faithful. Faithful to his word and faithful to his work. And there are times when you will have to look the enemy straight in the eye and say, no matter what you do to me, I'm not going against what the book says. I'm not going against what the Bible teaches. You can do this to me. You can do that to me. I'm not going against Jesus Christ. This year, of course, is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And this year we commemorate that tremendous display of conviction that Luther had. You remember what happened? He was brought into the Diet of Worms. All of his works were laid on the table. Luther was asked to recant everything that he had ever said or written in those books. How did Luther respond? He said, my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience. May God help me. And he had that conviction. I'm not going against the book. I'm not sinning against the Lord. And here we find Nehemiah asked to go into the temple, hide in the inner sanctuary. But he says, should such a man as I flee? I'm not sinning against the Lord. The presentation of the attempt, the protest against the attempt. But notice lastly here and quickly, the prayer after the attempt. Verse 14, we read Nehemiah, he commits it all to the Lord, and he states, my God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. It seems Shemaiah wasn't alone. There were other false prophets, other false priests that were rising up against Nehemiah. And in facing this attempt to intimidate him, then assassinate him, Nehemiah, he simply left it all to the Lord. He said no, he was strong, but then he left his cause to the Lord. And whilst there are times that you need to fight your own battle, then there are other times then you need the Lord to fight the battle. There are times when you give the battle and you give the battle into the Lord's hands. There are times when you need to vindicate your own name. You need to clear your own name. But then there are other times when you need to just let the Lord honour his name, vindicate his name, and uplift his cause, and ask him to deal with his enemies. An attempt to assassinate Nehemiah. May God bless his word to your hearts this morning.